Not long ago, our congregation, well, we were really rejoicing at the news of the salvation of two men that occurred in our Calgary congregation. It was at the installation of Reverend Armin Tomassian. The joy of being there in the morning service, and we were over for that special meeting. And then Reverend David Park, who was here also from Northern Ireland, and brought the word in the evening service in Calgary. And after that, well, the Lord had been working in the heart of a man called Caleb Struck, and also working in his brother and their family. And the news of his salvation has caused us to greatly rejoice. And so when Caleb asked to come here and be a part of our youth outreach, we said, most definitely, you'd be welcome here and to be a part of the team. And I've asked him to come and share with us a word of personal testimony. So Caleb, you come now and share these thoughts with us tonight. And brother, you're very much at home here, so just feel at ease, no problem. There's no nervousness up here at all. Don't you worry about that. The Lord bless you, man. Take care.
I would like to thank you all for welcoming me to your local church here, and it's been a blessing here so far today. My name is Caleb Struck, eldest son of Dirk and Anya Struck. I was born and raised in a Christian home, and I was taught from an early age the depravity of man, my need of salvation, Christ's death on the cross, and that salvation was by faith and not by works. When I was around 11, 12, I really began to think eternally and whether or not I was saved. But at the same time, the world drew me in, and I fell into great sin, and I did not repent, not fully realizing my eternal state before the Lord. And as I got older and older, sin began to harden my heart towards the gospel, to the fact that I was proud that I could commit sin and yet not cause instant death to me. And I found a verse in Romans 1, verse 32, that best describes my state before the Lord at that time. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they would commit such things that are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that was my state. But the Lord, in his providential will, had other plans for me. At the arrival of Mr. Tomassian in Calgary, we started attending a few of the evening services there. And every time I'd go, I'd feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon my need for Christ, my sin. But at the same time, I still wanted what this world had to offer, and I did not submit unto Christ. But on March 8th, 2015, was the ordination service of Armin Tomassian. That morning, I had the privilege of hearing Mr. McCullen and Mr. Saunders preach in the morning. And that evening, Mr. Park preached from Luke 23 on Christ's crucifixion. All that came from that service for me was the love of Christ. And it moved my heart because I knew I was not worthy of that love. Nor could I love anyone in that way. As the service ended and I wiped my tears, I left the sanctuary. I ended up talking to a man named Philip Hanna, talking about Northern Ireland. And Mr. Park then asked my father if he had any children. And my father pointed to me and said yes. Mr. Park then asked my father if I was saved. And my father replied saying he did not know, but if he had to give an answer, he would say no. And at that time, I was looking at my father, and Mr. Park and me met eyes like nothing, and just stared at each other, and he made a beeline for me, and right there and then he asked if I knew Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And that broke my heart because I knew I didn't. And I knew I needed Christ. He then quoted John 6:37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I do not know what came upon me, but the abounding grace of God. And I clung to that verse. And I cried unto the Lord, and I said, Lord, it says in thy word that whosoever shall come unto thee shall in no wise thou cast out. And from that moment on, I knew that Christ had died for me, personally. And from that moment, my focus was on my brother, because I knew that he was not saved. I came home that night, gave my brother a hug, and said, I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I said, I pray that you would do the same also. And as the week went by, unbeknownst to me, Isaiah would be listening intently as me and my parents talked about the things that the Lord had showed me in the opening of the scripture. And the Lord answered prayer in the next Sunday evening as the Lord moved in my brother's heart and to bring him to himself. And I would like to, I have a verse that would sum up my testimony. Romans 9:16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And what a mercy he shows. And if you are here tonight, and you do not know Christ, and if you were as once I was, trying to pretend and fool everyone, and much so I did, there is nothing that satisfies like Jesus. And there's not a love like his love. And I pray that you would know his love tonight. Thank you.
Caleb, thank you for that heartfelt word of testimony. You know, when the Lord does a work deeply in the heart of someone and it touches the soul. And he mentioned, as he shared his testimony with me earlier on in the week, it was the love of Christ that really affected him. He had heard the gospel before, had heard and knew, being brought up in a Christian home, the facts of the gospel. Maybe that's affecting you tonight. You know the facts of things. You've heard it all before. But it wasn't until he came face to face with the fact that Jesus died for him. And that's what gripped his heart, and the love of God for him. And I pray that the same word, the same gospel would affect our hearts tonight. I'd like you to turn with me for a moment to John's Gospel, chapter 6. Verse 37, John's Gospel, chapter 6. This is the verse that Caleb quoted that the Lord used to draw him. These are the words of Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Lord Jesus spoke these words as he was in the midst of his earthly ministry, and people had followed him. They had witnessed his miracles. They had seen the things he had done. They had received food from him and the feeding of the 5,000. And the Lord is now drawing these people, and he is telling them very clearly that the Father has given a people unto himself, unto Christ. But then the words of invitation the Lord opens up, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is one of the greatest gospel promises that we have in the Word of God. And if I have heard testimony once, twice, three times, more than I could count, of people that have been drawn to the Savior as a result of this verse of Scripture, myself included. For I remember the time when my own father shared with me this word, and it came to my heart with great power, for I had no sense of assurance of my salvation. But he brought me to John 6:37, and the promise was that Christ gave the person that comes to him. And what does that mean, to come to Christ? It's talking about to believe on him. It's talking about receiving the Lord Jesus as Savior. And if a person comes to say, Lord, I want salvation, the promise is that Jesus will not cast that person out. They will not turn them aside. And folks, as we have heard these words tonight, and as we have thought about this message that Jesus Christ spoke, maybe the Lord is dealing with your very soul now. Maybe the Lord is saying to you, it's time that you made peace with God. It is time for you to come to Christ, for you do not know how much time you have left. My friend, we go through the minutes, the hours, the days of our lives. And friend, if you are without Christ, you do not know but when your time will be finished. I implore you tonight. I stand in Christ's place, and I exhort you by the power of the Spirit of God to repent and call out unto the Lord for salvation. For at the sound of your voice, as you from your soul on the inside cry out to the Savior and say, Lord, save me, the Lord will come. He will save you. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that gospel word, that gospel message is the good news of salvation. And this is the word that is spoken throughout all the Scripture. Friend, do not delay. Do not put off. Tonight is another opportunity that God has given to you. And this gospel word is out now. The Apostle Peter, in the day of Pentecost, he stood and said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, ye must be born again. And it's repeated, you must be saved. There is no other way of meeting God. There is no other way of coming into fellowship with him. Friend, what holds you back tonight right where you are sitting? What holds you back, friend, as you're watching this service online, sitting in the comfort of your own home, perhaps? What is it that holds you back from receiving Christ? Is it your family? Are you afraid of what your family is going to think? Maybe they have assumed you are a believer. Maybe they have thought that you are a Christian, and you're wondering, well, what will they think about me now? Put that thought out of your mind totally. Because one thing that they will think about you is rejoicing with joy unspeakable that you have come to make your peace with God. And other people will say, well, what about my friends? What are they going to think about me if I have all of a sudden become religious? Are they going to think I'm some kind of a fanatic? Your friends, they will laugh with you now. They will laugh with you and party with you now. But what happens when you come to the day of your death? Where will your friends be then? Friend, do not allow those who are your associates, those who are your peers. Don't allow the pressure of being concerned with what they're going to think about you. Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And if we are welcomed by the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is a welcome indeed. There is no other that we need to be concerned about. Other people say, "If I get saved, how am I going to tell those who I work with? Because they know me and see me day by day. They know how I operate. They know perhaps the language that I've used. They know the places that I like, the jokes that I hear. They know all about me. What if I get saved? How are they going to react?" A friend, the greatest joy you will have in your life is sharing your new faith with those whom you have had association with, who have known you. It may be hard, it may be difficult giving out your testimony, but when you do it, there is joy that is unspeakable. For Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 9 that whosoever shall call and confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is risen from the dead, shall be saved, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the gospel message. That is the good news. That's the hope that brings us into unity with our God. You see, we are separated from the Lord because of our sin. But in Christ, we are united with him. In the Lord Jesus, we have a friend that stays closer to us than any brother. We have a Savior that saves not just for time, but saves for all eternity. And when we come to Christ and our sins have been forgiven, we are guaranteed a home in heaven. We shall be with the Lord forever and forever and forever. And conversely, friend, outside of Christ, you will be separated from God forever and forever and forever. There is much in the balance tonight. Your soul's eternal destiny is at stake. And friend, I exhort you and challenge you and encourage you on the ground and authority of God's word. As the apostle said, "I beseech you as I stand in the place of Christ." I stand in the place of Christ to exhort you. Flee from the wrath that is to come. Do not put off tomorrow what needs to be done today. For now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this word, this is the word of peace. This is the gospel of truth. And this, my friend, is what the Lord has given to us to secure life and peace and hope and joy for all eternity. And it's the gift of his salvation, because the Lord loves you with an everlasting love. And that love that he has so demonstrated upon a cross of suffering and shame, that love that he has demonstrated is not in vain. It is not empty. It is not pointless. It is everything, friend, for you tonight. What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in religion? Are you trusting in something else for your salvation? Oh, I exhort you, I plead with you tonight, don't put those things out of your mind. Friends, come to Christ and call upon him, confessing your sin. For as you do, you will find that he is your eternal Savior. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Tonight, as we are still, our service is just about over, let every believer be in prayer now. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to your heart. And maybe, friend, you know in your soul it's not right. Maybe even others around you have always thought you have been a Christian, but you know, now is the time to confess your sin before the Lord and call out unto Him. I say to you tonight, we cannot save you. We are simply God's servants to show you the way. Is tonight the night that God has intended for your salvation? Is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you? Do not push Him off. Do not press Him out of your life. For we do not know if we have another opportunity. May God speak to your heart tonight. Call out to Him where you are seated and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Our loving Father, we thank the Lord tonight for this privilege of being in your house, for hearing these words of encouragement, for hearing of the work that has been done in the life of Caleb and others like him. We're thankful for the salvation of his brother. And Lord, we pray that many homes here will have household salvation. We know that there are parents, Lord, who are grieving over children that have gone far astray, those that have heard the word but have denied it. Oh, Father, tonight I pray that there would be an ingathering, a household salvation. Father, speak to souls now, I pray. Maybe there's someone who is just uncertain, wavering back and forth. Lord, deal with their hearts, we pray, and draw them to the Savior. Lord, separate us now, we pray, in thy fear, with thy rich blessing. Help us in all that we do in our service and life for Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight and you need some help, you want some direction from the Word of God, then wait behind. Speak to us at the door. We will be happy to show you from the Scripture how you can know yourself that indeed Christ is your Savior. You are born again of His Spirit. And as the Word of God is opened, you will have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.